Executive Themes, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bathroom somewhere in the lower Mountain West, upper middle Mountain West in the occupied states of America. This is Michael Dean, and on the other end of the inner tubes in the 11th dimension, we have Derek J. Friedman. How are you, Derek?
Worms. It's good to be with you. We talk right over you.
Yep. And we're going to use we're using an interesting thing tonight. It's called TeamSpeak, for those who are keeping up on the ongoing quest for the perfect free codec to connect one fiend to another. We're trying TeamSpeak, just for the heck of it. That's team with an M, not an
N. We're on
a
team now.
Yeah, it's not teen speak. I don't speak to teens, but I don't know.
No way.
Kids. Ugh, kids.
I wouldn't even know the lingo.
Well, I like, there's this guy, Nick, who's doing a podcast that I helped him set up. Nick Hazelton, have you heard his podcast?
He's awesome. He's done two, Anarcho-Yakitalism.
Yakitalism.
It's a great show. You did some of the production on that.
I didn't do the music production. Nima Vedati actually helped him write his theme song, but Nima came out of daddyhood retirement to write the theme song. But now I just helped him set up the RSS feed, the website, gave him some editing tips. We actually bought him a microphone. He won a Fiend's microphone in a contest. So yeah.
Wow, that's huge. I mean, you gave him a lot to set him up. It's getting an RSS feed was sort of confusing enough for me. That's something I had to Google and play around with and try a couple of things. So good on you for helping the next generation get started.
Yep.
Speaking into microphones.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, because I know I'm 50. I mean, Ben's 55. Ben Stone 54, something like that. And, you know, he's been hitting the head a lot more times than me. He's been shot. I've never been shot. I've been hitting the head a bunch, but I've never been. He's had a lot of concussions. I've been punched, but I've never had a concussion. And after, like, you know, 5 PM, he can't talk on radio. He can't talk coherently, and he admits that freely and laughs about it. And you know, he says that, like, it gets, like, you know, 5 minutes earlier in the day each year. So, you know, I gotta bring the next generation up, so there's people talking by the time no one wants to. I'm just babbling on a microphone, you know, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when you're totally senile.
Yeah.
You should still have a show, but it'll be a different show.
Welcome to the Liberty Senior moment. Yeah.
Just be talking about the American Revolution and how you were there.
I was there, yeah. Actually, my great 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 grandfather was there. He fought on the rebel side, the American side.
Your genes were actually there?
Yes, yes, and lived.
That's pretty impressive.
He got a musket ball in his leg and lived with it for, you know, 30 more years until he died of old age. So, speaking of guns, tell me about guns. What do you got to say about guns?
Oh, Michael, don't even. This
Derek.
Is terrible. I've been denied. I've been denied my concealed carry license. I applied for it here in New Hampshire for it a couple of years ago, but I didn't have, like, a driver's license or some official ID that said I was from here. So I was denied for that reason. So I moved back up to Keene about 2 months ago, and now I have a driver's license. It says I officially live here. So I thought, hey, it's about time I reapply for that concealed carry license. New Hampshire is a shall issue state.
Yeah.
Meaning if I'm not a felon and I don't beat my wife, then they shall issue me a concealed carry license. But not what happened. They denied me. They sent me a letter saying that I've had several contacts with the police department for, quote, assaultive or threatening behavior.
That's from the video I've seen. That's like saying, you know, when somebody's car runs into your house, the house was exhibiting assaultive behavior, you know, with you.
Yeah, it is a lot like that, because in all the videos that I've got online, people can see for themselves, it's all free at victimlesscrimesfree.com. There's tons of videos of police assaulting me doing nothing to defend myself, just taking the hits. I mean, I've been run over by a police car, I've been punched by police, I've been pepper sprayed while handcuffed, and all the while, like, I don't lift a finger to these guys.
Yeah.
And they have the nerve to say that I'm assaultive or threatening and I can't have the right to conceal a firearm. Now, this doesn't mean I can't have a gun. In New Hampshire, you know, right now I'm wearing a pretty big knife that was given to me by Ben Stone, Bad Quaker.
Nice.
But
knives.
I can have a knife, I can have a gun, Yeah, I can even conceal a long gun. So the law in New Hampshire is about
really?
A handgun.
You cannot. You
so
cannot
yeah, if I found
a
trench coat,
in most states. Yeah, it's that's unusual.
Well, in New Hampshire, you don't need. Yeah, you don't need a special permission from the government. So if I had an AK-47 and a trench coat, that's fine. I can conceal that. But
you should.
Oh man, if I've got a six shooter and it's in my hip to defend myself, wearing it at my 2 o'clock in my pants, well then I am some sort of criminal for having the nerve to want to protect myself against people who might want to do me harm.
You know, the Wyoming.
So I think what the question really boils down to. Yeah.
The Wyoming gun laws, before they made it, you know, what they call constitutional carry, since I've moved here, I've been here 5 years with my wife and from California. And when we first moved here, I open carried for 6 months because you had to live here 6 months to get a permit. And then we got permits and they're about to be renewed. We'll probably renew them because then we can legally travel to New Hampshire with them and carry there. But, now you can conceal carry here without a permit, but it was interesting the laws here for concealed carry. If you look at the state government website, it lists, back then it said it's illegal to carry any concealed weapon, gun, knife, or animal. Really, like concealed animal. And I wonder if
animal?
I wonder if that's legal now that they've rescinded the permit requirement for handguns. Yeah.
What sort of animal would someone be concealing? A snake?
Hedgehog.
Or a dog or something?
A scorpion?
Right. You throw a hedgehog at somebody.
A porcupine.
Yeah.
Yeah, porcupines stop being passive self-defense and become active self-defense.
Well, yeah. It's ridiculous. I think that the reason they actually denied me, they say I'm assaultive or threatening, but I think it's really that they don't like me. It is because there's
some little
thing in the law. Yeah.
Oh, it's illegal. It's illegal here. It's illegal here to carry a concealed weapon, animal, or vehicle. I swear that's in the law, like a concealed vehicle. Okay.
You can't carry a concealed vehicle?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that would even like. Those scooters that fold
that's what
up
I was
in
thinking,
like,
yeah.
Case.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So go on with your problems. I'm just making light of actual weird laws in my state.
Well, I'd like to like open carry and see if there are any like reports that people have of criminal activity or some sort of investigation. See if it causes the police any problems. If I were to open carry, you know that. It can freak people out. It's not my style. Like I know some people say there are benefits to open carrying, like it deters crime. I don't want to be.
I don't know. I think
that
like if someone's really if someone's a really like dedicated robber, you know, willing to kill to get something. I mean, I think they'd walk in the bank and they'd shoot the guard and they'd shoot the guy, open carrying, and then rob the bank.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Out of the videos that I see of regular people defending themselves against crimes, it's usually some regular guy with a concealed carry weapon, and the robbers come in, and then their crime is foiled. And I'm not saying I'm trying to be some hero. I would run if I ever had the opportunity. The firearm is simply to save my life if it's the last option. But I want it. I want to have that option. I'm a peaceful guy. And I think what the concealed carry denial really comes down to is because of all my civil disobedience that I've done here in Keene. I've been arrested for recording in City Hall. I've been arrested for recording outside of the courthouse. I've been arrested for all these different crimes, none of which involve a victim. So I think what the question really boils down to is this. Is civil disobedience enough for a concealed carry denial in New Hampshire? And I say no, it is not. Just because someone is might disobey some bad laws doesn't mean that they suddenly lose their Second Amendment rights.
Well, I certainly agree with you. But, you know, that was like literally, you know who outlawed open carry of a loaded weapon in California? Ronald Reagan. When the Black Panthers started.
What?
Yeah, it's true. When he was governor.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Conservative, Mr. Hero to all the conservatives. When he was governor of California, and those crazy Black Panthers started showing up at the courthouse, open carrying shotguns, Ronald Reagan passed a law, got a law passed that he put forth, making it illegal to open carry any loaded weapon in California. Now, the loophole, I guess, you know, Nima Vedati says loopholes are the windows through which liberty can pass. The loophole was that you could technically carry an unloaded weapon and carry the ammunition, you know, on the other hip, which is what people started doing recently or a couple of years ago at Starbucks in California. And, but yeah, it was him. Yeah. He was the guy that outlawed, open carry of a loaded weapon in California. So, and you know, basically that was
activists,
you know, he was stopping the activists from being armed. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I also learned that's a possibility for me here. If I wanted to conceal carry, I could still do it by taking out the magazine and just putting it in my pocket. And then you can continue to conceal the unloaded firearm. So there's all sorts of loopholes. I don't need to ask permission from the Keene police to conceal carry. But then there are other benefits. Like if I travel down to PA, it's reciprocal in Pennsylvania. So, you know, I want this permission. I used to be a civil disobedience activist, and now I'm just trying to follow their rules, and they won't even let me do that. So I started this fundraiser to get a legal defense because when I heard about this, I was like, all right, I either fight this now or I fight this later. And I'm not one to run away from a problem, so I'm going to face it head on. I got an attorney named Evan Knappen, who's famous for taking on cases like these.
Yeah, David.
You can learn.
David, oh, go ahead.
You can learn more about it at GoFundMe.com/gunrights.
GoFundMe.com/gunrights. We'll be right back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at FreedomFiends.com.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to FreedomFiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to FreedomFiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to FreedomFiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Talking to Michael W. Dean and Derek J. Freeman. And yes, the J does stand for justice, right, Derek?
Hey, y'all. Yeah, J stands for justice. This is Derek J. from Shire.
Yep, we switched programs. We were using this thing called TeamSpeak, and the sound quality was pretty darn good and with very few dropouts. But for those of you playing the home game of the creamy radio audio show called Freedom Fiends, the quest for perfection, it had a lot of latency. It was like 2 seconds, man. Like I would finish talking, and I'd, you know, basically do what they call in the biz, throw to Derek, like, okay, it's your turn to talk and respond. And it would take so long for him to come back that I was trying to fill it with like going like, yeah, you know, like just to do something to fill it.
Yeah.
It was kind of unnatural.
It was serious latency. We don't have that now.
No, we can talk over each other too.
We can talk right over each other. We can do that sometimes.
Yep.
And that's how it should be.
That's how it should be. Like we're in the same room. Yeah, man. We're in the same room. I'm going to call this episode Derek J. Freeman and Michael W. Dean Save the World. And you're going to find that picture of us together at Porkfest where you look like a young Brian Eno and I look like a middle-aged Dom DeLuise or something. So
I actually deleted that picture from the internet so no one can find it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Does that mean
no? I wouldn't know how, but I'm having a hard time finding it.
Well, you know what they say: taking something off the internet is like taking pee out of a pool with a spoon. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. I want to talk more about my awesome lawyer because I've never hired a lawyer before.
I want to say this about your lawyer. Okay, I sent your plight and your fundraising campaign link to three people: Sipsy Street Irregulars, which is Mike Vandebau, who's, let's see, he's a good guy. He's a gun guy. He's been denounced by name by Bill Clinton. That's a pretty high honor.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. I'm happy when some accuracy in media denounces me and says that my movies and Pork Fest are responsible for the decline of Western civilization. But it's pretty much of an honor, I think, to have Bill Clinton on MSNBC saying, "You, Mike Vandebau, are part of the militia problem." So I sent it to him, and I sent it to I sent it to David Kadria of the War on Guns blog. And awesome. those two guys, Mike Vandebau, Mike V, and David Kadria, they're both friends of mine and mutual fans. And they've both been on the show a couple times. David Kadria and Mike V broke the story of the Gunwalker scandal. You know, the thing of, the DEA or ATF or somebody like smuggling guns into Mexico to give to drug lords. Those two guys broke that story. So they're heavy hitters.
Yeah, they were like, what would happen if we just gave a bunch of big guns to Mexican drug lords?
Yep.
Would that
That was what they did.
People died.
Yeah, people died. And,
that was sad.
And then they said, we need to outlaw guns in America because they're getting into Mexico. Parentheses.
How could that be happening?
Yeah. So, yeah. And the other person is Claire Wolfe, the OG libertarian. She is one of the people that inspired Boston Tea Party to start writing. And you know how long he's OG libertarian. And two out of three of them so far have blogged it. And David Kadria, who knows more about guns than anybody I know, was like, oh, good that you've got that guy as your lawyer. He's great. You know, so, and David knows the gun law industry of America really well. It's part of what he studies and reports on. So good for
this
them.
Attorney,
good for you.
Evan,
and yeah.
Yeah. Evan Knappen literally wrote the book on New Hampshire gun laws. Like, he sells a book on his website called New Hampshire Gun Laws.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He has that for New Jersey too. And I actually heard about him through my reporting at peacenewsnow.com.
Yeah,
he's defended so many people against the state when they come and try and take firearms for no good reason. He is the lawyer who defends them and wins. And I was like, oh, okay, I've heard about this guy all over the country. This is the guy who I want to defend me when the police are now saying that little old peace activist Derek Day is not trustworthy with a concealed carry. So it's just, this is the person I want. And he's already been doing a fantastic job. Like, we talked a little bit. I won't confidentiality and all that, but I'm excited about this. I think we've got a good case. So
yeah, well, it's your choice on the confidentiality. The lawyer is required by law to keep your confidentiality. If you want to be a dum-dum and talk about pending legal action on the radio, that's up to you, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Worms, we'll be back with more on Derek J's heroic actions, kicking the state. Not kicking, but, you know, squeeching
peacefully.
Back. Peacefully squeeching back. Squeeching. Yeah. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. And Ian Freeman is on now, and it's kind of funny because Ian Freeman just is so all about radio. You know, he was helping us with some tech issues, and I was like, 5 seconds before the segment started back up, I'm like, so Ian, you gonna jump on? He's like, yeah, whatever, sure. So Ian, how is your life? What's up?
It's good, man. I was just upstairs listening to you guys on our KU band satellite channel.
Ooh. And
it's kind of cool thinking about all the different ways the audio is going. You know, we're connecting to you. You're all the way out in Wyoming. We're here in Keene, New Hampshire. Then you're connecting to Minnesota, which is where our network is. They're then sending that signal out to New York City, where it's then being uplinked to one satellite. Here in the LRN studio, we're actually picking up the feed that GCN, our network, puts out on the internet, and then sending that over the internet again to the uplink facility in Pennsylvania.
No way.
Where it's then being uplinked to a different satellite where I was pulling it off of the bird and listening upstairs. All
wow.
within a matter of seconds.
And to Cameroon, Africa. And there are
That's right.
And the thing is that all of those systems combined probably have less latency than we're having using TeamSpeak with each other. Yeah, about 3 seconds is probably about the same. So, you know, it's kind of – that is trippy and cool, and it kind of sounds like – imagine if you were 15 and, you know, kind of laying back and relaxing with some herbalism or something, you know, laying with your friends in the woods, looking up at the sky, counting the stars, and you pictured that someday your voice would be so important to somebody that there'd be all of that structure to put it out in the world.
It's amazing that so many voices are able to do that, and so quickly. Is that what you were thinking when you were 15, Michael?
Oh, I was thinking I would be a scientist who is the emperor of the world by this age. Seriously, I've had delusions of grandeur, but I put them in check. And one of the ways I put them in check is by trying to help other people. It's like, yeah, I want to be the libertarian emperor of the world, but, you know, so I can like open source that to all my friends and then their friends. Yeah,
that is the libertarian plot, to take over the world and leave everyone alone.
I love that. I'd love to know who made that up. There's a lot of good memes running around that like nobody puts names on, which is pretty cool too. You know, I don't know who makes them up. Do you know?
That's how liberty's going to win.
Is there somebody in the basement of you guys' house just like sitting there with a typewriter, like, you know, one monkey human with a typewriter coming up with all the memes?
Back to work. Yeah, it's actually children.
Yeah, there was you know what? One thing that's pretty cool about radio is that you talking, us talking on radio is so important to somebody that literally alarms go off if we stop talking for 6 seconds. Did you know that, Ian?
Yeah, mine's about 15 seconds here in the LRN studio. I've got alarms that will flash without audio, just kind of flashing lights. And then there's a computer program that actually sends me an email whenever there's silence. Silence detected. Yeah. So I've actually got two types.
And then generally it's and the GCN has a 6 second one. If you stop talking for 6 seconds, they have an alarm that goes off. But and then there's also I'm usually listening to LRN 24 hours a day, and I usually call you when it goes down.
Yeah, you're the third fail.
there's a funny thing about that is the first time I ever called Ian. I think we told this once before on the show, but it's worth retelling. It's been at least a year. The first time I ever called Ian, I called it, he has like Google voicemail or something, and it says, "Please state your name, and we'll try to connect you." And I wasn't really listening to that, and I was like, Ian, LRN is down. This is Michael Dean.
So, you're off the air.
Yeah. So every time I call Ian. It says, you have a call from Ian. You're off the air. You're off the air. Yeah, I don't even think I said my name. I was just like freaking out. Yeah.
That's how people used to squeeze in the collect calls secretly. Oh. You would you would collect call somewhere, but then leave your message real quick as your name.
Collect call from, leave Mom, I need money. Send money now. Thank you. Do you accept the charges? A collect call from, Mom, I'm in jail. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. I didn't get a call from jail, speaking of. Did you ever get a call from jail, Ian?
What do you mean, call from jail?
Like, when you go to jail, there's on TV and movies, like, you get that quarter and you get one call, you know? That never happens.
Keene Police have allowed people to call from the booking area of Keene Police.
You know, that's...
And I've had people call from jail when they're getting out of jail to get a pickup.
Do they use cell phones from
the
jail?
No, the jail will let them call out.
Yeah, so you got to know those numbers. I mean, how does that even work in 2014? Nobody remembers.
I don't know anyone's
numbers.
They're all in a phone book. Yeah,
What would you do? Who would you call?
I would call.
Do you even
my,
know any numbers?
Me? Yeah, I've memorized my wife's number for that purpose. And you know, if they wouldn't let me talk to her, I'd call her. I'd say I want to call my attorney because she is the paralegal of the attorney I would call if I was arrested. So I could call her while calling my attorney. So,
oh, not bad.
Yeah.
Well, you're saved.
I am blessed and saved. That doesn't mean I can, you know, be an idiot. I got a call from jail one time that was pretty funny. I came home when I was living in LA and there was a message that like filled my voicemail. I had a 5-minute voicemail and it filled the whole thing until it beeped and hung up on the guy. And this was really weird. It was a collect call from LA County Jail. And somehow the guy tricked or whistled or something to get my answering machine to accept the charges. Like I actually got like $1.20 charge on my bill for this. And,
no way.
Yeah. I don't know how he did it or maybe just some answering. It was an answering machine. That's what it was too. And maybe there was a tone in the answering machine that like simulated accepting the call.
Wow.
And it was this guy with a Mexican accent screaming into the phone for someone named Pablo, like, I'm going to get you when I get out of here. You better, my wife, you stay away from her. I know you set me up. Like, I was
worth a buck 20
or whatever. That was worth a buck 20 for me to be able to tell the story once right now on the radio. Sure.
Did you ever get to rebroadcast that, message?
That was a couple years before I started podcasting. I started podcasting in 2006 with my wife, DJ. And we spent our first wedding anniversary at the Podcast Expo in Ontario, California, and we got to watch Free Talk Live get the award for I hadn't heard of Free Talk Live, and I remember best political podcast Free Talk Live, and like they look around and nobody accepts it, and they set it on the table of people that didn't accept it. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was our first wedding anniversary.
Why weren't you there, Ian?
I don't even really recall. Yeah, it was like the podcast awards and you'd had to flown yourself out for it, that kind of thing. So don't really have a bunch of money to throw around on that, or certainly didn't at that time.
Sunny downtown Ontario. Sorry, go ahead.
There was recently like a Tumblr convention or something, same sort of thing where they were like offering awards, but it was held in one of these real small
like the
towns.
Cups? The Tumblr cups?
Tumblr, like the social media site.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
There
are like celebs, you know, like there are YouTube celebrities, there's Tumblr celebrities, but they just had one of these conventions and it was like a serious flop because they tried to have it in just some regular old town. Hmm. Like, oh, we'll just get a bunch of Tumblr celebrities together. That's going to be great.
Didn't I hear they had one of those YouTube conventions, which apparently was not a flop?
Yeah, those work. Yeah. I mean, that's really cool.
Okay, you want to talk about the three different generations we've got on here. Derek meant Tumblr, the website, the social network. Ian thought you meant a drinking glass, and I thought you meant Dorothy Hamill, the Olympian from 1976, who was a gymnast. Yeah.
Oh, I thought Tumblr is the thing that you use for bingo to circulate all the letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the official name of that device is. Tumblr seems like a good one.
Yeah. This is the old Tumblr.
B-72. Wait, there's no 72 in bingo, is there?
Sure. Why not? There's an E. Wait, there's no E in Bingo.
See,
maybe
this
at the end, maybe in like the French version.
This is the kind of radio I like, because it's you know, a bunch of libertarian, voluntarist, ANCAP types sitting around talking about anything but politics. We talked about some politics, but it's like, this is what radio would be in LibPair. And to me, I think there's, you know, there's 50 other shows doing, oh my God, look what Obama did to you today. It's like, it's covered. We don't have to cover it every day, you know. Mm-hmm. Free Talk Live, you already did 3 hours of it today. Although you're talking about
doing that stuff.
You?
I don't care what Obama does.
But people call in. People care. Man, that the other day was like all immigration all the time. It was like the right wingers got your phone number or something.
I love the immigration shows. We don't, you know, whenever you bring that topic up and you're on radio stations, it'll stir up the crazies.
All week it's been like that. We got some good female callers as well, talking about
spanking
childhood abuse. Verbal abuse. Is yelling, is that violence? Is that just as bad as hitting a kid?
You know, it's so funny, we've got this Free Talk Live amplifier group which you are a part of, Michael. I don't know if Derek, if you're
no man. I think I'm not in the
did
group.
I offer to you and you turned it down.
Yeah,
okay,
wow.
So anyway, in that he's busy, you know. Derek is he's important.
He's a gadfly. He's a gadfly.
So in the group, some guy posts about how the show about spanking, whenever spanking's a topic on Free Talk Live, it gives him a chance to catch up on other podcasts. And I'm like, whatever. I thought it was a great show.
Yeah, I really. Yeah. You got a lot of female callers. I think that counts for something. You know, some people are interested. This is a demographic thing.
I think whenever Wit calls in and you guys take a call from him, it's a chance for me to catch up on some other podcast. But today I listened to it because I don't know, there was a hailstorm going on. It just seemed like the right moment somehow. I don't know, it was pretty cool.
Did he call into Free Talk Live at the end? Yeah. He called into Peace News Now at the end of the show today, too. He's making a marathon run.
Freedom Fiends don't take calls anymore, and I stand by the decision, and I like it. Occasionally, you know, like, we'll plan one. Like, I had Aiko from Cameroon Skype in, told him he could.
Yeah, he finally called Free Talk Live, too. That guy's great.
Mm-hmm. I heard that. I just happened to be listening. And
what's his story?
Hang on a sec, though. But or as we say in the Fiends, we say Zoom. Zoom means I'm going to keep talking. So Zoom. Let me finish this. Zoom. So we stopped taking calls. I wasn't that keen on calls ever. And we were taking calls on the GCN phone interface. And we got like in 1 week, we got like five nights in a row shortly after like Michael Dean After Dark went live five nights a week. We got like five in a row that were the same guy disguising his voice. And that was kind of the final straw for me. He called you yesterday, Ian, and asked you how big your penis was. It was the same guy.
Oh, that guy.
That's the guy.
He's been on and off for a few years.
We'll be back.
Comes and goes.
On the Freedom, Free Talk Freedom Live. Now, Peace News. Peace News, Freedom News Live.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker on Freedom Fiends with members of Free Talk Live, Peace News Now, and Free Keen, and other assorted things. Derek J., go ahead. What you got?
Well, on the topic of this concealed carry denial in New Hampshire, which is a shall-issue state, There's one other case that is similar to mine that I started looking up because people were like, oh, hey, this has been tried before. So I looked into what is the case about, and it's called Bleeler versus the chief of police in Dover. And so Bleeler, essentially what he did, I'm reading from the court document here. It says he went to the several city employees, including the city attorney, and during the conversation, he removed a loaded pistol from his pocket and placed it on the desk as a prop in a story he was telling, which involved threats that allegedly he had been made up several years ago by organized crime members. Not similar at all. And this is so he was declared an unsuitable person. This is the little clause. Like, he wasn't a felon. He didn't beat his wife. But he was considered an unsuitable person because of he had incidents like putting a loaded gun on the table at the city attorney's office. slightly different from the way I behave around police officers. So I thought it was it's worth challenging this.
And this guy
suitable,
was successful?
No, he was not. And so people are like, well, it's not going to go well for you then, is it? And I'm like, well, I'm totally different from this guy. You know, there's no incident that I challenge the Keene police to find one video or anecdote of when I have been in any way violent. So I think it's a totally different case. And so I want to challenge that suitable clause because what it does is it makes it like it goes from objective to subjective. Like, there's these different rules, you know. Are you a felon? Like, that's an objective thing or not? Or have you been accused of hitting your wife? Like, that's objective or not? But suitable? Well, like, that's just random. Oh, if I don't like you, then you're not suitable. And the judge could agree. You know, this judge that we're going to be up against, he has, or that we're going to be bringing the case to, he's found me guilty of other things, but...
He has, but the very same judge has also found in the favor of activists more recently. He's the very same judge who threw out the no trespass order against you and I and other activists from the courthouse.
But the trespass order was still used as justification to deny me this concealed carry license.
They cited the sheriff's unconstitutional no trespass order?
Yeah, they said because I trespassed on court property. That's one of the reasons that I'm not a suitable person. So, but yeah, it's really about holding these government people accountable with the video camera, and I think they don't like that. But I think they've invited a situation that they can't get out of now. You know, now that they've denied me, I'm going to have to take it to court, and they're probably going to lose.
Well, they're also not used to the activists taking things to court here either. It's kind of a newer thing that's been happening recently.
I certainly have never done it. I mean, I felt like a real adult hiring a lawyer for the first time. Like,
you got tired of the I will do it with my own words. Yeah.
Well, I did try that. You know, I read Mark Stevens' stuff. He does the No State Project. And
I'm familiar with his work.
I know you are. I'm letting other people know who aren't.
No, I mean, I'm familiar with him and have like negative opinion. My only negative opinion of him is that he doesn't tell people he's not an attorney, and he will not do that, and we've talked to him about it, and he was incensed.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah, I can understand why.
Didn't that happen? I've never encountered that with him. He frequently will say that he's not an attorney in my experience.
I thought there was some discussion of you as having him on LRN when that whole thing went down, asked him if he would do that, you know, once an hour on the show, put in a 10-second liner or something and said that, and he refused you. You don't remember that?
Well, that would get kind of annoying, don't you think? Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that either. I would just say it.
Anyway, I don't want to bring that up. It's gone.
Well, okay. Well, the point is, I'm not going to defend myself. I'm going to get a professional to do it and do it right. So if people want to support that, they can go to GoFundMe.com/gunrights.
Do it.
Do it. I'll link it in the show notes, too. And thank you for your call, gentlemen. We'll carry you over into the second hour. No, I'm kidding. You're the co-host. I'm the board op. I'm just listening to you guys. I'm having fun. It's cool.
Worms.
It's like having a night off. You know, that whole segment, I was out like getting my cat. She was knocking at the back door. Worms.
Meow.
Worms. How's your brain, Ian?
All is well.
Wow.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Meow with me, fellas.
Meow.
Meow.
Freedom Fiends, Michael Dean with Derek J. Freeman.
Hey.
And the J stands for justice. And Ian J. Freeman. Do you have a middle name there? Middle initial?
Ian B. Freeman.
Which is you be free, man. Ian B. Freeman. You know, did you get.
The initials are I. B. Freeman.
Are you guys a fan of the show Breaking Bad?
I liked that show, yes.
Did you get the joke?
No.
The joke in the name of the attorney?
No.
Saul Goodman. It's Saul Goodman.
Oh.
Oh,
that's not bad. There's a spinoff going to be with that guy, that character.
I
understand.
You know, it's not going to be like must-see TV like Breaking Bad was, but I'd watch it. I like the ads he had on for him on that show. Like the, you know, they showed a TV ad one time. It was supposed to be for his law practice.
Yeah, I think that'll be pretty entertaining. He's an entertaining character. Of course, for our listeners who don't know, Breaking Bad is a relatively popular cable television series about meth makers.
You know, I have a secret little shame, which is I love cop shows because I like good drama, good writing, good acting, good production, and all that. And it seems like in TV, that's where some of the better people end up working, which is probably because the state is so popular that, you know, everyone wants to support it by making cop shows. So I watch Law and Order. I love The Shield. I watch shows like that. But I really liked Breaking Bad because it was like as good, but actually better than any of those cop shows in all those categories. And the state was the enemy and the criminals were the heroes. So I dug it, man.
Yeah, that never happens. I've done some channel surfing while I was on vacation because I like rarely watch TV, but I saw that, and I saw another show like about some cult, and all of the TV shows are about regular people, and then the cops are the good guys, and the regular people are all evil somehow.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to call Walter White a good guy.
I was just going to say, Breaking Bad. Like,
well, I don't know that show. Like,
put it this way. I mean, there were
the only person.
There were like, you know, 40 kind of main characters in the whole run of that show that you had to like pay attention to and know and watch what was going on. And of those 40 characters, one of them lived by the non-aggression principle, and he got a bullet in his head from one of his meth-making partners. So, you know, Gail, the libertarian. I wish he hadn't died and there'd been a spinoff
spoiler
with Gail. Oh, come on. Spoiler. It's, you know, anything that's
the
been
show's over now
for a year, is yeah. There's no spoilers, I think. Yeah. So
I think that's fair. I was the only one who didn't get sucked into that show.
The show is essentially about Walter White's character arc, where he starts out this mild-mannered science teacher at a high school and becomes essentially a drug kingpin by the end of the show.
Wow.
Like a vicious, murderous drug kingpin.
Genius. And
is it just circumstance, do you think, that makes him the character that he becomes?
No, he has cancer. He's dying of cancer and he wants to provide for his family, but he ends up with so much money that his wife has it in a storage space. And like, he asked one time, like, how much do we have? And she's like, I honestly don't know. All I do is come in every couple of weeks and spray it for silverfish and change the humidifier, empty the humidifier. I don't know how much money we have. It's more, it's more than we could spend in 10 lifetimes. And he still like won't retire. And he's
keeps
just
going
into the power of it. Yeah.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions, as they say.
Oh, that's great. Hmm. Well, maybe I have to watch this show now that it's over.
It's amazing, sometimes easier. It's amazing.
It's easier to watch shows once they're finished because you can buy like the box sets or something.
You can binge. Well, yeah, most of it's on Netflix too. I mean, you don't have to finish.
It's a good show. It never lost my interest at all. The writing is very good. It seems very gritty and very realistic in the way it's shot, and it'll pull you right in. The first episode is pretty shocking, and I highly recommend it.
But I was kind of afraid that it was going to be another one of these cop dramas that Michael loves watching, cheering for the police. So I'm glad that wasn't the case.
No, I don't think you can cheer for the police at any point in this, in this series.
They don't end up winning in any way, and that's not really a spoiler.
Another good cop show. I don't watch the cop shows, but I did stumble into one of them. I guess you can kind of count it as a cop show, and that would be Dexter, which was a Showtime series.
Yeah, it was about a murderer
for
wasn't
eight
it?
Seasons.
Like a, he's a cop, isn't
yeah,
he? The,
but he's
the main
a
character.
Too,
he's,
like, right?
he's a blood spatter. Right, he's a blood spatter expert for Miami Police Department, but is also a murderer of murderers. Essentially, he kills killers.
Well, you know
and
what's
this,
funny?
That's kind of an interesting twist.
You know what's
the cop
funny
hiding
is,
from the other cops.
That's
right?
That's actually pretty much the fake movie within the movie described by the hack screenwriter in the show adaptation. Did you ever see that? The movie. Great movie.
In the what adaptation?
The movie called Adaptation with Nicolas Cage playing two.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Familiar with it.
Yeah.
At one point, like, you know, the stupid brother who wants to be like his screenwriter, successful screenwriter brother, like, goes to a screenwriting class, and then he's like, he has this ridiculous script idea, and it's called The Three, and it's basically that there's the main character is three personalities of the same guy, and one is the serial killer, one is the cop investigating the murders. And then one is one of the victims too, which is technically impossible, probably. But you know, it's a ridiculous idea, and he gets like a 6-figure advance on it. And his brother is just like, ugh, why do I bother? You know.
But that actually became a show. Dexter.
It sort of describes that show. Two-thirds of it. Yeah.
Dexter's a neat show because you know the subject matter is this serial killer. I mean, that's what he is. He's a psychopath, and how he, you know, survives through this life where he's also a police officer, and obviously he wants to keep his life of killing a secret. His sister's a police officer. His dad was a police officer. But anyway, he experiences emotion throughout the 8 seasons, and it's kind of interesting watching the psychopath who's not supposed to have emotions kind of get in touch with some of
human.
That.
It was
pretty neat.
One of the things that I never get to see, though, about these shows that I would love to see a behind-the-scenes look of is, like, how does this affect the actors? You know, this actor who played Dexter, you know, when they get onto the show, they don't know what they're actors. Yeah, I know.
Acting.
But they're...
Actors are robots. They're brilliant robots. It doesn't affect them. Although a lot of them are screwed
No,
up,
not affect them like emotionally. It's just like, how does he know? He doesn't know where his character's going. You know, the characters at the end of a series are so much more developed than they are at the beginning.
You know, you can pretty much predict it like the way they describe the hero's journey in, you know, the baby in Family Guy describes it to the dog. He says, you know, friends become enemies, enemies become friends. Everyone's a little richer for the experience. That's every TV show series ever. But, you know, the thing about Dexter, the way you're describing it, is it makes me think about a thing of how the kind of the character arc of cop dramas over the past like 60 or 70 years, because there was a time when any time there was a cop in a show, like he was flawless. You know, he was a god.
Yeah. Andy Griffith
up
style.
Up until
Dirty Harry.
Up until the 70s. Dirty Harry, French Connection. Serpico. Those three movies started to really blur the line between criminal and cop and, you know, good and evil, the duality of man. And I think Dexter takes it full circle to, like, you know, the cop is the murderer, too. But, you know, The Shield kind of did a lot of that, too. I love The Shield. Did you ever see that?
Isn't that based on, like, a Marvel thing? That's a comic book, isn't
it? No. No, The Shield is actually based on the Rampart scandal in L.A. That crew of drug cops that were like, you know, had a really high arrest rate, but were breaking every law to do it. And like, you know, stealing kilos of crack from dealers and then selling it to other dealers and things like that and beating people.
Were you living out there at that time?
I was not living out there at that time, but I was living out in L.A. that the whole time The Shield was being filmed, and it was filmed all over my neighborhood, like Echo Park and Silver Lake, L.A., which is really like they don't film stuff there. They film stuff on the west side where it's all pretty. And I lived in the kind of like not the the total hood ghetto, but kind of the cusp of the ghetto. And that's where a lot of that's filmed. And it was really weird to me because I was loving this show that was on TV and like eating in the cheap burrito places where they'd film scenes and stuff all the time. And and like a lot of the people I knew in AA in LA were aspiring actors. And what a lot of aspiring actors do for money and exposure is they work as extras. So I was like sitting in rooms with people that were sitting in rooms in the same restaurants I was in the week before watching it on TV. It was very like, is this real or not? And it's such a hyper real kind of documentary style show anyway. You know, I mean, I didn't.
Is it one of those shows? Does it take the side of the cops?
It's one of those shows that's kind of morally ambiguous, which kind of seems to be the way of media now. And it's kind of the way of media I like morally ambiguous would describe every single person in Breaking Bad, except maybe the son, the guy on crutches.
I think that's why I didn't like it. I'm a Batman reader. Like as a kid, I grew up reading comics and I like the clear cut villain, good
did
guy.
You, did you know Archie was killed simple. Off? Archie from Archie
oh,
Comics?
I hate
was,
this. He was, yeah, he was really? Killed off. Defending some gay
gun grabber politician
I never heard of. Yeah, yeah.
How did he buy it?
He was shot by a crazed gun lover who was trying to kill a gun grabber politician, and Archie took the bullet to save his gay politician gun grabber friend.
Wow, so it's over, huh? They've retired the series.
I don't know, man.
Do you bring back Archie? I mean, no. I know in the like the regular. No. That's comics it. In the but in the Marvels you can bring the characters back. They're always like,
you know,
dying
but
and then
that's,
coming back.
But that's
yeah.
in ones that have like magic power ones. Like
right, that's what I'm saying.
Archie,
can you bring back Archie?
I think
he's
so.
Gone.
Yeah,
yeah. Archie yeah. doesn't have any magic powers.
Archie's just a 70-year-old teenager. Come on, man.
Yeah, he only had staying power, and then for so long, I thought maybe it was a cool move for the. Like he could have, they could have just ended the series and been like, and he saved Veronica, like. The end, totally yeah. predictable, but they threw out something that no one saw coming. That was kind of a good
I think
idea.
The Brady
recent,
camp-
right?
I think
brand new, yeah.
I think the Brady campaign still paid him to do it. Yeah.
Well, it does seem like a totally politically motivated thing. I'd be surprised if someone wasn't paid off for
yeah.
some of the
well,
writing on this one.
Is Archie's been running since 1939, man. Did he ever
right.
age at all, or is he still like 17 when he died?
No, he's still a young guy. I don't think he aged.
Who is reading Archie comics?
I didn't
are
know there still
millennials?
Was. I didn't know there was an Archie comics.
I mean, yeah, kids read them. Kids
really?
Read Archie. Yeah, it's like a kids thing.
You know, just one of those things. Does he have an older audience too that has been reading for their whole life? I mean, how
probably
are there elderly Archie fans
since
who
1939?
Are like, really sad?
I just can't imagine like any fan of Archie is going to be scratching their head on this one. Like, wait, what? I don't
and
know.
How does Jughead factor into all this?
I don't even think he's on the cover.
This is kind of interesting. Archie Comics was founded by John Goldwater, who's related to Barry Goldwater.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Small world.
Maybe they waited till he died and just made it totally Obama centric politically or something. I don't know. Okay,
it's pop culture night.
We mentioned Obama once. Isn't that a legal requirement on talk radio? Ian? you know the law. I don't. All right.
I really have no clue.
We're back with more. After
I've heard
this.
You're not supposed to drink on the air.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Freedom Fiends all the time. Yeah.
That's my band Bomb, and the lyrics of that song for the whole song is just I'm happy all the time. I'm happy all the time. So it's Freedom Fiends all the time because we're 7 days a week. I called Ian Nima. See, I just missed that guy. Hi, Ian.
Ian is putting on his headphones.
Ian's putting on his pants. Yeah, you're wearing a bow tie right now, but this morning when I talked to you guys, Ian was shirtless. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, he's usually shirtless. I'm so lucky.
I didn't know I was your type.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't think I am, right?
No, not really. But I'm still, anytime a guy can be shirtless around me, yeah, I'm for that. Like, I'm surprised there is a double standard for shirtlessness. Like, the biology is the same.
A friend of mine, actually, Nicole is her name. Nicole LaRoche was shirtless at Porkfest, and some ladies said, cover that up, honey, and got really mad at her. That. Yeah, yeah.
And that's that's what inspired Dylan, the guy with the loincloth, to go around in a loincloth.
Right. And then that inspired several articles about nudity at Porkfest. So there's all kinds of, why is this controversial in 2014?
I know.
And a woman would not wear a top. I mean, is it the 20s?
Well, there was an article about Porkfest that said, guns, drugs, and partial nudity. Did you see that one? I think it came out today or yesterday. It was on some.
I think they all had
site.
That theme, basically.
Well, it's all a paraphrasing of that Accuracy in Media one from 2 or 3 years ago. It was called Guns, Drugs, and Madness in the Ron Paul Revolution. That was the one that said. The movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Ron Paul, and Porkfest and the Free State Project are destroying Western civilization. And I took that as a badge of honor. That guy actually kind of irked me. I'm powerless over what people say, but he actually recently tried to link the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom with the shootings of the police in Vegas. And I'm like,
no.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually said that.
How could they be linked? Did he watch the movie?
No, I never saw anything of the guy liking the movie at all or anything. But he said that the couple that shot the police liked Alex Jones, and Alex Jones promotes a movie called Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. As far as I know, I don't know if Alex Jones knows that movie exists, but our ads run on our show on GCN. Maybe this guy sits around like taking notes of GCN, like what are they talking about now, and like confused. It went from Alex Jones to a replay of us or something. I don't know, or maybe on some station. But yeah, I was like, man, come on, man. I'm a peace loving guy. With a lot of guns.
Hey, speaking about guns and weed, that was one of the concerns about my denial for concealed carry was that I was arrested
Is that a checkbox now on the thing? Guns and weed?
Boom. Boom. Yeah. Well, I was arrested for possessing cannabis once upon a time. And some people think that if you are a drug criminal, have a gun anymore. But that's
puff,
not true.
One puff makes you insane, doesn't it?
That's what I hear from the DARE classes, but yeah. I'm skeptical. I was arrested for possession, but that's not use. And there is a difference in the law between a user of drugs one who just possesses them.
When you buy a gun and fill out the federal background form that they're supposed to destroy within 24 hours, but probably don't, the check, like in Wyoming, any adult can walk into a store and buy a gun for cash. And a lot of states are like that, but they do a background check federally really quick on the spot. And one of the questions is, are you a habitual user of marijuana? So I don't know
why would that be a concern?
That's the wording though.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, if you were arrested for taking the pots once years ago, I don't think you're a habitual user, but you have a high powered gun attorney now. I think these are questions for him.
I'm just saying there is precedent. There's a distinction between use and possession. And so I'm saying, I did. The police who denied me said that it was part of the reason was because I had this arrest for narcotics. He calls him. He doesn't even refer to marijuana. For what it is, it says it was narcotics. And I say that's baloney.
Well, you know, there's that term habitual criminal, which is a legal term used in like three strikes laws. I wonder if you can be a habitual criminal of activist misdemeanors, if that term would apply.
That would apply.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't give him ideas.
Don't give him ideas. Okay. We'll be back with more of armchair lawyering with the Freedom Fiends when we get back.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Oh, Footskin. Shut the front door. Footskin.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, and yes, this is the Freedom Fiends with Derek J. Freeman and his twin mother from a different mother, Ian Freeman. You ever heard that term?
No.
That's what the black people say in San Francisco. Some black people I knew said about like a guy who was a good friend, he'd say, it's my twin brother of a different mother.
He's my sister from another mister.
There you go. Yeah, and we made up, last night, Diana and Christian and I on the show made up a new cuss that's radio friendly, and it's, oh, Footskin. And basically,
I like it.
Basically, it's because, you know, Diana sat down to do her show and was like, what is this gross thing on the table? And Christian was like, oh, it's a piece of my Footskin. And it just, she was really grossed out. And we just thought it was a good cuss word. So yeah, then there's also, shut the front door. When you don't believe what someone said, or you're really incredulous or really excited. And I have a quick story before we go into whether or not there were ever worms. In McDonald's burgers. There was a Ian, do you actually have a couple like Morning Zoo Crew sound effects you play about once a month on the show, don't you?
I've got some sound effects, but I hardly ever use them.
Every time you use them, like the people in the studio groan. You can hear them. It's pretty fun. I want to get some. So, yeah, my wife used to work for Dictaphone. You know what that is? Ian knows probably.
It sounds familiar.
It's a company that made like they first made like dictation recording devices with foot pedals for secretaries in the 50s and 60s. And then they made like the little pocket tape recorders that had the little cassette in them.
And then the micro cassettes.
Yeah, and they did a lot of, you know, big business with big business and with governments. And my wife was like a field rep for them in Southern California about 25 years ago. And one time she had to go deal with like the postal inspector of Los Angeles County because they were buying a bunch of stuff. And she was supposed to go in and tell them how to use it. And she went in and he walked into the room. He pulled out his gun and badge and set them on the table and looked her in the face and said, how long is this going to take? And she said, a lot less time if you put that stuff away. But it was like, literally, it was like, wasn't even a cop. And he literally like showed the gun in the room to try to, you know, get his way.
Well, the postal office does have police and they have their own policing division. We were actually in New York City for the Talkers Conference and took a picture of a postal inspector vehicle, which was a police car.
There's a bunch more than there used to be, too. That's been around forever. But like the government printing office has a police force now. And really, you know, they're giving everybody Glocks now, people who probably are going to shoot themselves in the foot, but literally.
Can you even bring a gun to the post office? No. It was my understanding that it's
federal.
That's
a year in prison. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like even in a place like Wyoming where people walk around with guns on their hips all the time, you can't even bring it. You can't park in the post office parking lot with a gun like leave it in your car.
I don't know that that's true. Do you know that that's true?
No. But you would be on their property.
I was just going to say, if you were a criminal,
you can't have a gun property.
I was just going to say, if you were a criminal, you could probably just break into every car parked in the post office in Wyoming and get as many guns as you got cars.
I'm going to have to go and look for a no gun sign at the post office here in Keene. I've never looked for it.
I've seen them in every post office I've been in. They used to be really bold and upfront and big, and now they're like,
because I know that when you
a little placard somewhere in the corner.
Well, the irony, of course, here in Keene is when you walk into the main post office, they have a framed copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution right there on the wall.
And, well, because unlike most government tyrannies, the post office actually is one of the constitutional tyrannies. So that's probably why they have it, because it's like, I think it's on the first or second page of the Constitution proper, like, and develop postal roads and a postal system. Yeah.
Well, I know I had to disarm even before going to the Social Security office. There was a sign posted saying something like, oh, no knives or whatever. And I had a knife in my purse. So I had to go hide my knife outside somewhere in New Hampshire.
Were there metal detectors? Security?
No. As soon as I went in, I realized that this was pretty stupid. I didn't need to go hide my knife. But I did, because, there are threats.
Did you just hide it like out in a park or something? Or because you don't have a car, right?
I don't have a car. Sent to someone else's car, and they were parked up close enough to the curb that I just stuck the knife in between their wheel and my and the curb, and thought that was a good hiding place.
If they saw it, they'd probably
like
think you were trying to, slash their wheel or something. Mm-hmm. When
I really thought I as soon as I stood up, I was afraid that someone had seen me like place this knife right next
to
a car.
Isn't that bizarre?
Like, what is that guy doing?
That's life in America and in the world now. Even if you're an honest person, you're constantly frequently thinking like, what if someone sees me? You're not even doing, you're not a criminal, really.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to go in to get a Social Security card, and then there's all these all these different routes I have to take. Like, oh, walk back, go hide your knife in some random park.
So switching gears to worms.
Oh yeah.
And then we're going to get into what you want to talk about really quickly about McDonald's. Really quick, there have been two big rumors in my lifetime that there were worms intentionally put into McDonald's hamburgers to make the meat cheaper. One was in the 70s when I was a kid, and one was a few years ago. Now, this is the difference of how like corporate speak handles stuff now, and how like cranky billionaires who actually spoke for their companies in the 70s did. When it happened a few years ago, McDonald's issued a press release that basically said, like, didn't mention worms. It just said, we would like to reiterate that McDonald's hamburgers contain 100% beef and nothing else, no fillers, no other matter, just beef, period. That was like and it was like in lawyer speak. In the 70s, when it happened, Ray Kroc went on national radio, the owner and founder of McDonald's, and said, why would I put worms in my beef? Beef costs $1 a pound, and worms cost $5 a pound.
Nice.
Yep. So you got a McDonald's story or comment there, right, Derek J. Freeman?
Yeah, I do. I recently read that the McDouble is the cheapest, this is a quote, cheapest and most nutritious food in human history.
From whom?
Is that from the McDonald's Meat and Beef Institute, probably?
It's unclear to me at this time, but this is reading from the Telegraph. They say, describing the McDonald's double cheeseburger as the cheapest, most nutritious, and bountiful food that has ever existed in human history might seem beyond fanciful, but according to the author of Freakonomics, it's not as absurd a suggestion as it appears. And then they've got this nasty picture of one of these burgers. It looks nothing like the picture that you see when you're ordering the burger.
Pictures are taken. There are people whose job is photographing food, and it's like they put more care into tarting up the food than they do with actors almost. I mean, literally to the point where they do things to the food to photograph them that make them unedible. Like they will like coat sandwich, cheeseburgers with varnish to photograph them and basically put makeup on them almost.
I hear a lot of breakfast cereals, the front cover is like glue instead of milk, to keep the cereal the way it should be looking.
Because milk, when you photograph milk, it looks like really light blue generally.
And the glue probably looks more white.
It looks tasty. So the double cheeseburger provides...
Kids love glue, I hear.
Well, it gives you 390 calories in one of these double cheeseburgers.
Is that a lot?
Yeah, I think that's a substantial amount.
It's a lot if you do physical labor all day,
Because they only cost like a dollar or two. 23 grams of protein, that's half a daily serving, plus 7% of daily fiber, 19 grams of fat, and 20% of daily calcium. And that's all for between $1 and $2. Like if I went down the street, I think there's, I can get a bacon double cheeseburger for just $2.
You were really excited about this. Like, you told me this about this like four times in the past 12 hours.
I was excited about it because I never ate McDonald's until I started reading these reports. It's like, it's actually good beef. You know, I bought the propaganda about Supersize Me. I watched that documentary a bunch of times.
Yeah, I thought this was it made me a little happy if it be true, because it seemed like it kind of undid a lot of the armchair, you know, liberal controlled media bashing, you know, like corporations and capitalism or something.
Yeah, liberals think they're so great because they eat granola and I was like that for a little while. Like, Mr. Foodie, it has to be the best in the world.
Liberals like McDonald's, man. You go to anywhere, the San Francisco, downtown San Francisco McDonald's is like, 10-minute line to get a burger.
They like to eat it, but they won't admit it. They'll be hiding. They'll be like looking on their phone. Yeah, like, and then run out. Like, no one saw them. But then I read, about this. It says, facts are facts. Where else but McDonald's can poor people obtain...
That's scientific.
Well, where else but McDonald's can poor people obtain so many calories per dollar? And that's a serious question.
Eating sugar? Right? Eating just a box of sugar?
But you can't get protein from that. This is like the most... This is the best thing that you could buy. If you've got $2
and you're a homeless
person...
Somebody's backing up their argument by saying, facts are facts.
That sounds like a Southern politician talking, man.
Look out.
And that's Mr. Smith quoted there. So you watch that. Mr.
Smith goes to Washington?
I don't know. He's a New York Post columnist.
Look out for anyone bearing the truth. I always, if somebody's like, there's a certain talk show libertarian guy who's always talking about how he has the truth about things, and I question that. I don't know if you have the truth.
I would say what my gut tells me from having been poor a lot and having eaten a lot of fast food when I only I had $1.99. I need four more pennies. Let's look in the couch. That's how I was for like the first 35 years of my life. I think you'd be better off spending $2 on a burrito from a, Mexican run burrito place if you have them around, because
why? Yeah. Why do you think that?
Because my gut tells me that after I eat the burrito, I feel fuller and more fulfilled and happy and have more energy. And the McDonald's burger, I'll eat a McDonald's burger. I ate some on the drive to Denver and to and from to get the to go to Pork Fest. I will admit that, and I liked it. But I don't know. McDonald's, like, it feels – I don't know if it has MSG or not, but it feels like it kind of makes you hungry really quick after you eat it. It doesn't feel fulfilling to me.
I get the same impression. So it's been years. I did like 5 years off eating McDonald's, and I was real proud of myself. No fast food. But then, I started hearing maybe their quality beef. Maybe their stuff is good. I should try it out.
Yeah, and I don't know. I lived on burritos when I was a bike messenger, and that is hard physical labor, man. And it was cheap burritos.
Vegetables cost too much. Fast food's cheaper.
Burritos have vegetables. So does McDonald's. A pickle's a vegetable.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
by sheep or sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
wish what, Ian Freeman?
I said I wish I was better at remembering people's names. It's such a challenge. We were just off the air talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival, where we all three Woo-hoo! Attended, and you inevitably meet more people than you could possibly remember after the fact. And, you know, sometimes I can recognize people, at least their face, if they send me a request on Facebook, but sometimes people send me requests during Porkfest or after Porkfest. I'm like, did I meet this person? Yeah. I don't know.
I had something bizarre happen to me. It was a complete stranger. Well, two things that were pretty bizarre and cool. One was a complete stranger came up to me and started asking me by name about my cats. And I guess I mentioned them on the show sometime, but I was taken aback by it. And then I met the coolest fan in the world, and I'm kind of a recluse. I wish I had a million fans like this. Guy came up to me, said, "I love your show," handed me two $50 bills and walked away.
Yeah.
That Whoa. Is the best fan in the world. I want more of those.
Sounds like Mike Sylvia.
Yeah.
He likes to hand out $100 bills to activists who do things that he likes.
Huh. It was not him, but, wow, where do I sign up?
That's so libertarian. Like, let me just incentivize with money. It just seems like all Koch brothers style.
He works for FedEx. That's what he does.
He's not a Bitcoin millionaire.
Yeah, I don't know, but he's one of the Free State Project state representatives too. He does great work.
Well, you know, today we had
political system.
We had the first Bavarian Gulch summit. It's kind of like Bohemian Grove, but it's Bavarian Gulch. Ben Stone, Dobby Barker, and I do a voice chat. We're going to do this regularly, like once or twice a week. We do a secret encrypted voice chat just for like 2 hours. Don't record it, and we drink hamster blood and centrally plan the Liberty Movement.
That sounds great.
That's what there actually are conspiracy theories about the Liberty Movement. So, I mean, the conspiracy theorists, we know about
Did you get your Koch brothers check yet this week, Ian?
Believe it or not, I didn't get the Koch brothers check. But from what I understand, the Koch brothers are hiring some Free Staters to make phone calls for one of their subsidiary organizations or something like that. So to some extent, the conspiracy is true. But there's also a large conspiracy about Koch money being what's behind the Free State Project, and that, you know, we're all being controlled, etc. Of course, there's the idea that I'm also in charge of everybody, which is totally ridiculous.
You are the cult leader. That's what I
heard. Was one article that actually claimed that I was the creator of the Free State Project, which of course is completely fallacious. But there's all kinds of things. One time in Keene, there were rumors of the Secret Seven, which was a Democrat conspiracy theory about, because it was a rumor spread amongst townies who were like lefties, and that the Free Staters had the Secret Seven in town. And I don't know where it came from. It's not true that I know of.
And we're making fun of conspiracy theories here and how silly they are, I guess. But there's been a little bit of talk about how there was some mildly unsafe gun use at Porkfest, and I'm going to do what I can to address that by showing. I want to show Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle. I want to show that movie there next year, and we're going to make a 10-minute gun safety video and put it on a loop on Davi Barker's table with audio. So you're going to be hearing it and bothered by it every time you walk by his table.
Thank you for being the change that you want to see. You don't say, like, oh, I'm just going to yell at everybody. And, you know, it's like, oh, here's the solution. I'm going to offer you a video and put it on a loop.
Well, a lot of times the people at Porkfest, I mean, having been there for close, not quite a decade, but for many years, there have been a lot of these incidents over time where it's somebody who has just, you know, probably had one too many or doesn't have much experience with guns, or is the Fed, you know, who knows, agent provocateur in there acting like a fool with a gun. Who knows what the real story is. But usually what happens is people who are nearby who do know a thing or two about guns, and there are plenty of those people at Porkfest, they will usually step in and take the person aside and have words with them and attempt to talk some sense into them. And most of the time it works.
Has there ever been a disarming, like, hey, you should give me that?
Like taking the keys out of your drunk friend's
hand? Yeah, exactly.
I believe that it seems likely that there has been. I've never witnessed it.
Well, but let's hope that doesn't happen. And speaking of agent provocateurs, there's a book called Rats by Claire Wolf, OG Libertarian. You can get that book at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com. And I've had a wonderful time with you guys. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Derek.
Stop snitching, Michael Dean.
Yeah. I have nothing to snitch. I don't talk to anybody. I don't know anything. I'd be a bad snitch, man.
Worms.
People try to be my friend. I'm like, go away. I'm in my windowless bathroom. Worms.